Greetings and salutations! Welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Several people have told me that they don't watch these in the morning or listen to these in the morning, but they do it in the afternoon or the evening, and so maybe I should stop saying good morning at the beginning, so then I have to think of something else to say. I don't know. Anyway, it's day 120. We've come to Exodus 28. We're continuing with the instructions that God gave Moses about the tabernacle, which show us so much about Christ and about proper worship and about holiness. And today we come to the garments of the high priest, which shows us even more about Christ, who is our great high priest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for the beauty of it. Thank you that you gave us in the tabernacle this display, multi-sensory display, so we could see and hear and smell and taste, that your people could have this foreshadowing. Thank you that Christ has come as the fulfillment of these things, and that we have access to you through Christ, our great high priest. Speak to us today through your word. Write it on our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Amen. Amen. Let's get into our passage. Coffee break. Good coffee. All right. Then bring near to you Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him, from among the people of Israel, to serve me as priests. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, and you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. You shall speak to all the skillful, whom I have filled with a spirit of skill, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him for my priesthood. These are the garments that they shall make: a breastpiece, an ephod, a robe, a coat of checkerwork, a turban, and a sash. They shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons to serve me as priests. They shall receive gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet yarns, and fine twined linen. And they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue and purple and scarlet yarns, and a fine twined linen, skillfully worked. It shall have two shoulder pieces attached to its edges, so that it may be joined together. And the skillfully woven band on it shall be made like it, and be of one piece with it, of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet yarns, and fine twined linen. You shall take two onyx stones, and engrave on them the name of the sons of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and the names of the remaining six on the other stone, in order of their birth. As a jeweler engraves signets, so shall you engrave the two stones with the names of the sons of Israel. You shall enclose them in settings of gold filigree, and you shall set the two stones on the shoulder pieces of the ephod, as stones of remembrance for the sons of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders for remembrance. You shall make settings of gold filigree, and two chains of pure gold, twisted like cords, and you shall attach the corded chains to the settings. You shall make a breastpiece of judgment in skilled work. In the style of the ephod, you shall make it of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet yarns, and fine twined linen shall you make it. It shall be square and doubled, a span its length, and a span its breadth. You shall set in it four rows of stones. A row of sardis, topaz, and carbuncle shall be the first row, and the second a row of emerald, sapphire, and diamond. The third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. The fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. These shall be set in gold filigree. There shall be 12 stones with their names, according to the tribes, the names of the sons of Israel. They shall be like signets, each engraved with its name, for the 12 tribes. You shall make for the breastpiece twisted chains like cords of pure gold. And you shall make for the breastpiece two rings of gold, and put the two rings on the two edges of the breastpiece. And you shall put the two cords of gold in the two rings at the edges of the breastpiece. The two ends of the two cords you shall attach to the two settings of filigree, and so attach it to the front, so attach it in front to the shoulder pieces of the ephod. You shall make two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastpiece at its inside edge near the ephod. And you shall make two rings of gold and attach them in front to the lower part of the shoulder piece of the ephod, and at its seam above the skillfully woven band of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastpiece by its rings to the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, so that it may lie on the skillfully woven band of the ephod, so the breastpiece may not come loose from the ephod. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel in the breastpiece of judgment on his heart when he goes into the holy place to bring them to regular remembrance before the Lord. And in the breastpiece of judgment you shall put the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be on Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. Thus Aaron shall bear the judgment of the people of Israel on his heart before the Lord regularly. You shall make the robe of the ephod of all of blue. It shall have an opening for the head in the middle of it, with a woven binding around the opening, like the opening in a garment, so that it may not tear. On its hem you shall make pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet yarns around its hem, with bells of gold in between them, a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate, around the hem of the robe. And it shall be on Aaron when he ministers, and its sound shall be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, so that he does not die. You shall make a plate of pure gold, and engrave on it, like the engraving of a signet, holy to the Lord. And you shall fasten it on the turban by a cord of blue, and it shall be on the front of the turban. It shall be on Aaron's forehead, and Aaron shall bear any guilt from the holy things that the people of Israel consecrate as their holy gifts. It shall regularly be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. You shall weave the coat in checkerwork of fine linen, and you shall make a turban of fine linen, and you shall make a sash embroidered with needlework. For Aaron's sons you shall make coats and sashes and caps. You shall make them for glory and beauty. And you shall put them on Aaron your brother, and on his sons with him, and shall anoint them and ordain them and consecrate them, that they may serve me as priests. You shall make for them linen undergarments to cover their naked flesh. They shall reach from the hips to the thighs, and they shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they go into the tent of meeting, or when they come near to the altar to minister in the holy place, lest they bear guilt and die. This shall be a statute forever for him and his offspring after him. That's Exodus chapter 28 in the English Standard Version. As usual, it's ESV.org from Crossway that we use for our on-screen text display of the Bible. Aaron is the high priest. He's the brother of Moses, because in the Old Testament you could not be the leader of the people. So Moses functions in a king-like role. He's not a king, but he functions in a king-like role as the political governmental leader of the people. He's the supreme judge. He has the staff of authority and rule. And you couldn't serve in a king role and in a priest role at the same time under the Old Covenant law. It was absolutely forbidden for someone to be both king and priest. Kings could be prophets, like David and like Solomon and like Moses, who served in a king-like role and was a prophet. Priests could also be prophets, like Jeremiah and others. But you could not have those two major positions of authority over the government and over the worship. And this is really an early indication in Scripture of the idea of separation of church and state. You shouldn't have the same person in charge of the church, the worship, as in charge of the government, the state. But it's also an indication that no one but Jesus is sinlessly holy and perfect and incorruptible to be able to handle that much authority, that much responsibility. There's no singular head on earth over the people of Israel. There's Moses, who's their governmental leader, and Aaron, who's their high priest. And only Jesus is sinless enough and holy enough and incorruptible enough that he can be both king and priest and prophet all in himself. But Aaron's the high priest. His sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, are going to serve as priests with him. So within the tribe of Levi, you have a family in whose line are the priests. The priests come from the line of Levi, but it's not the whole tribe of Levi that are priests, just that one family. Of course, Nadab and Abihu are going to have an unfortunate execution by the Lord. I didn't say unfortunate, it's that they're going to sin and offer strange fire to the Lord and be disciplined by him because of it. And so Eleazar and Ithamar are going to end up taking over for their older brothers. But here we're focusing on what God has given to clothe the priests. And without getting too bogged down in all of the little details, we see again a repetition of some of the colors we've already seen. Gold for glory, blue for heaven, purple for royalty, scarlet yarns for man and bloodshed. And so that is all found in these priestly garments. The glorious King of heaven who becomes man and sheds his blood for us. And so it's again another picture of Christ. This time, Christ in his role as our high priest. And in the role as high priest, he represents the people of God before God. There are the stones on the shoulder. On his shoulders rest the government. This is responsibility to carry. You carry from your shoulders. The weight of them is there. The 12 stones close to the heart on the breastpiece. The people of God are close to Christ's heart before the throne of God, and then holy to the Lord on the gold plate across the forehead. The head is the symbol of authority. So there's sort of responsibility and carrying the burden on the shoulders, but there's the authority to rule is on the head, and then the heart of compassion is on the breastpiece. And there's judgment. There's the Urim and Thummim of judgment on the breastpiece as well. See, Christ is in heaven right now representing us as our great high priest. We are close to his heart. He is bearing us up. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the reason why the yoke of Christ is easy, you'd have two oxen who would be yoked together. And Jesus says, I'll get on the one side of the yoke, you get on the other side of the yoke. But Jesus bears the heavy load and does the heavy lifting. He bears us up on his shoulders and he carries us by his grace. And so that's why his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And then he is our head, he is our authority, our king, as well as our high priest. So in all these ways, Jesus continually represents us before the throne of God. And that makes him our great high priest, and that makes him the eternal source of salvation for all who believe, for all who come to him in faith. Because he is sinless, and he's made full atonement in his body for our sins, he's continually representing our redemption, our atonement before the throne of God. Now, the human priests, because they were human and they were sinful, there were some things that they had to undertake that Jesus doesn't have to undertake. Of course, they needed this hem with the bells and the pomegranate, because if they went in and they were unfaithful or wicked in the things of God, they might be struck dead, and then they would have to be pulled out. You hear them, he's not moving around anymore, and oh, he's fallen over. Hear those bells go crash and then go still. He's been struck down by God for being unfaithful in the worship of being wicked and sinful. But of course, Jesus is our sinlessly perfect and holy high priest, and so we don't ever have to worry about that. We don't need this kind of pomp and circumstance in our worship anymore, because all of this articles of clothing and special vestments and holy garments, they were all given as types and shadows to point to Christ, who is the fulfillment of all of them. So in our gathered worship today, we don't have a separate class of priests, but all believers are priests under Jesus, our great high priest. And so the pastor who leads the worship service and who preaches the word, or the elders who lead the worship service and the pastor preaches the word, we don't have special holy garments and special priestly vestments, because we're not priests. We're not a set apart class. Jesus is the great high priest. All believers are priests under him. We all have direct access. And the person leading the worship service or preaching is not a mediator, as Aaron and his sons were functioning in a role of covenant mediator. There's only one covenant mediator now. It's Christ. And so the elders and pastors are just leading the people in worship and helping to facilitate the conversation and the meeting between God and his people. But it's Christ, our great high priest, who bears our guilt before the Father, who makes constant intercession for us, who is our righteousness and our peace and our access to God. And our salvation is complete because he, complete and perfect and resurrected forever, sits at God's right hand as our high priest forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for such a Savior and such a salvation. Help us to treasure Jesus today and always help us to go to him often as our great high priest, the one who ever lives to make intercession for us, the one who is without sin, pure, holy, separated from this fallen creation. He's the firstborn from the dead, the first fruits of the new creation. Strengthen our trust in Jesus. Help us to go to Jesus repeatedly and to seek his intercession for us and his righteousness to be continually applied to us. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that was day number 120, Exodus 28. Tomorrow, day 121, we're going to jump back to the New Testament and pick up with our study in Romans with Romans chapter 2. Have a blessed day in the Lord.